What is the real value of done things? That's this week on the Badass Agile Podcast. Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to see you. Hope you're enjoying this cool fall, early winter. Welcome to everyone who's been with me since the beginning and also to all the new listeners from around the world. So grateful to have each of you here. Now let's dig in and zero in on our fundamentals, shall we? Make sure our game's nice and tight. You've heard me talk about done things, not ing things. Well, what is that all about? Why does it matter so much? We seem to keep forgetting. This one is everywhere I go. One of the difficult ones to keep people on the straight and narrow. Let's figure out why. But first, let's remember why we're here. To create an elite tribe of leaders who truly serve their clients and communities by doing what matters and what works, relentlessly chasing value and excellence like a badass. There's so many resources about what you need to do to be agile, but we're focused on who you need to become in order to lead teams. So let's hammer down those fundamentals to create a unique and powerful force in this industry. Remember, if this helps you, please tell your friends. The real benefit of organizing your day around done things, not ing things like doing, planning, meeting, thinking, is that it's really easy to measure progress in productivity if we know what the finished product is supposed to look like. To say that you're 70% done planning or thinking through something is completely arbitrary. You might as well say 4 or 92. However, if you flip the script, think of it this way. If you have 5 marbles to move from your left hand to your right hand, and you've now moved 2 of those marbles, you are 40% done. There is no arguing. So focusing on done things rather than ing things is as simple as saying, not I'm 70% of the way through planning, but rather I have 5 important things I need to plan. Who's my team? Where are we going to sit? What day do we start? How long's my sprint? And when is my first release? And if you've nailed 2 of those, you can say of the 5 things that I wanted to plan, I'm finished 2 of those things. And not only does that make you 40% done, roughly, right? That's not an exact science, of course, but those done elements of the plan should be somewhere where people can see them and start using them. If planning your team members is now a done thing, you should be able to send emails welcoming people to the team, get their accounts set up, get them access to systems, roll their chairs into the team room. It is ready to use. That is so much better than saying, I'm 70% done thinking about planning. So you see, when you know what the finished product is going to look like in terms of the done things that you'll have in your hands, it is really easy to plan the work and measure how done you are. So I had an experience this past week that depended on a sequence of people doing a sequence of things in a certain order to move the job forward. And after I did my part, I handed off the baton and everyone downstream was notified that it was now their turn to do some of the work. And that's where it all fell apart. 3 weeks later, the work is finally done. But only after it had to be escalated to some really senior people. I had initially blamed the problem on a system issue because I couldn't personally believe that the people involved in the work wouldn't or didn't do their bit. But see, the real problem is that the people didn't see the finished job at the end of the road, and they couldn't visualize the steps that needed to be completed, not the things they needed to work on, but the completed things they needed to deliver to the team as critical points that block work. See, it's so easy to reply back with, I tried. I did my best. Those statements suggest that you made a noble effort or you put some Herculean effort into doing your part. But at the end of the day, the universe conspired against you and just simply couldn't get it done. Because if your objectives are simply to work on it, not to finish and post it and check it in and hand it off, there's nothing pressuring you to getting the thing completed. If your objective is to work on or plan or think, you can do that for 30 seconds and, in truth, you've done your bit for the day. But this is why we have a definition of done. A done thing is something that is checked in, ready to use by the next person. So when we promise to work on something, and then the next day we come back with, well, I worked on it and I did my best, but I couldn't finish it, all that means is you didn't bear down and ask, if this is challenged or blocked, what else might work? It means you didn't do the escalation that I ended up having to do anyway for yourself. It means you didn't bother to slow down, walk through the steps again, see if there's something that you missed. It means that when things got hard, they weren't easy anymore, so you stopped. Think about it. Isn't that traditional behavior that we see in organizations everywhere? When we behave like this, though, you fail to see the implication on the world around you. See, my product's now 3 weeks late, and there's only one person who has to pay the fees, the fines, the penalties, all the negative consequences of not delivering your promises, and that's me. Not to mention the senior people that had to get involved to go and poke and prod people to do their job and to do it properly this time. All of these costs are the things that slow an organization down. Can you feel that? It creates an environment where it's impossible then to be truly productive, truly adaptive, truly innovative, and truly agile. The real problem in this case was running into a blocker and not feeling responsible enough for it, not feeling that true sense of accountability, that pull, that call. That's a huge chunk of what's lacking, at least in our North American workspaces. We're not being paid like owners, so why should I think or act like an owner? I can't get my thing to a done state, so instead of asking why not and what else can we try, we're trained to ask, so what? But the reality is this, until you start thinking and behaving like an owner, you're never going to be invited to become one. I'll say that again. Until you start thinking and behaving like an owner, you will never be invited to become one. You simply don't have the attitude and the ethic that it takes to deliver massive results at the leadership level. And the world will not wait for you to fix it. The only person who is going to help you is you. How badly do you need to suffer before you're adequately motivated to change? That's something I want you to think about this week. Want some more inspiration to help stay sharp and reinforce the badass agile mindsets and practices? Then stop in every weekday, grab the latest iteration of my new book. You can go to badassagile.com and subscribe to get the coming week's pages right in your inbox, or check it out at medium.com. Just search for the working title, Field Notes for the Agile Leader. Friends, thank you for listening. You can reach out at badassagile.com or find me on Twitter at badass_agile. I'll see you next time, and until then, stay badass.